be back here after 3 Sundays away. It was a very hectic trip traveling to Singapore and then to Thailand and to Malaysia. But it has been a very fruitful trip, and I hear good reports about the sharing and the ministry of Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Rina. Indeed, aren't we glad as a church we are so blessed that every one of us are serving the Lord and there's an outpouring of His grace and His kindness and His mercy. And I was so happy that for 3 weeks, I don't have to be worried about you guys. You know? And it was, as I say, it was very busy, but it had been a fruitful trip. And so Joanne and I are back for some rest after 3 weeks away. And a lot of divine appointments, which I think I will unpack this along the next few weeks. But really, God is good as we gather as His people. And I was sharing at the first Sunday of the year that I believe this is a season of flourishing. You know, I've been having this vision, dream, but I've been seeing that I see rows and rows of trees just fruiting, and I believe that is first light. And this is where God is leading us to a season in which He's bringing new life into not just one or two of us, but to all of us. And we need to help each other to be fruitful. We need to help each other, encourage one another in this journey about where God is leading us. As I said last year, that you know, first, like we've gone through this born-again experience, how God has brought us to a new location in LGCC, and the born-again in terms of us being connecting to other churches, especially being part of Churches of Christ of Western Australia. In that sense, as a church, we know we are not alone. We have brothers and sisters out there who can help us as to navigate as time is changing, especially in terms of being a Christian in the public square. It's getting difficult, but it's not impossible. And God is, again, this year is a year of activating one another. It's a year in which God is leading us to grow and thrive in His goodness and grace. If you look at the slide, that this year something exciting is going to happen, as some of us have started last year in Peacewise, and it is something that we continue to encourage every one of us, look out for the next Peacewise formation or next Peacewise group, because as I say it again and again, a church is more than just coming just to have a good worship or just to hear a good word. A church is when we have a good community. Imagine the first light, every one of us are dedicated to the gospel of peace, where we are dedicated to really help each other to find peace in God. First light is not going to be just a safe church, but it's going to be a freeing church. Amen. Because all of us face life, and life is disruptive, and every one of us either have gone through conflicts and or right now in a conflict, but every one of us have been affected by conflict. We have been traumatized, and some of us deals with our pain well. Some of us don't deal with our pain well. But hey, as a community, as we practice Peacewise, as we learn to establish peace with one another in Jesus' name, something good is going to happen. You know, this church is not going to grow because we have a great worship team, or it's going to grow because we have good word. This church is going to grow because as a community, we're going to heal one another. And when we are able to heal one another and restore one another, people out there will feel safe to be part of something because they also want to be set free. Things are changing in terms of our spiritual landscape. So changing lanes and crossing culture is something, again, we're going to bring forth as a workshop over 6 weeks or so, that we are going to learn about what God is doing in our city. And I like what Sarah shared earlier, something good is happening in Perth. And we don't want to miss out what God is doing. You know, sometimes as a church, we can become very inward about just about us. But I think God is doing something out there, and He wants us to get engaged. He wants us to move into something which may be unfamiliar for all of us. How many of us like change? Okay, only 3 of us, right? Right. We don't mind, you know, just like traveling, you don't mind getting from point A to point. No, you don't mind going to somewhere else, but you hate the traveling part. Right, I hate sitting in a plane, but I don't mind ending up somewhere, but it's a traveling part that sometimes just drag us down. And so change is like that. We don't mind getting somewhere that is good, but somewhere along the way, this is where a lot of pushback, a lot of things. But look out for it and be part of what God is going to do. And of course, times of refreshing is coming up next week or so. And I have one of my best friends in the city, a well-known prophet, Pastor Reg Marias from Living Faith is coming to minister to us, and I think it's going to be a glorious time. Please come and just invite your friend. It's activation, so it's not you coming and hear what God is going to tell you to eat lunch for next Tuesday, but rather you are going to be activated. Amen? Not too often that we just want to hear a word for ourselves. Can I say this out of love? No word is given to you without you impacting other people's life. Right? God's story is in your story, but your story will impact other people's story. So don't think about just coming at all. I just need a word for the year. The word for the year is live in Christ, and that's it. Right? But how do we unpack this? How do we learn to minister with one another? Because if you have peace-wise, if you have what we call able to understand about the community is changing out there, when we can speak to different people of different culture, different background through changing lanes, crossing culture, and imagine if we can move prophetically, I think with wisdom, with common sense, and revelation, I think we will definitely be a people that punch above our weight. Not for ourselves, but for the kingdom's sake. Amen. So today I want to share with you on this series, which I'm going to break, I'm going to share over different parts of the year, but beginning of this week or this month, I want to talk about what Jesus says about giving. What Jesus says about giving. And it's a good segue that Sarah shared about someone have blessed First Light with 100,000 to help us through that season. I remember when we met as a board and we were talking about, wow, we just had enough for a couple of more years ago. What should we do? Let's put a vote. Should we continue as a church or should we shut down? Well, one person said, let's shut down. Everyone said, no, we continue. I won't tell you who's a faithless person who say, let's shut down as a church. Because he's the one preaching to you today. Now, right. And the person who sowed, I think it's good for us to realize, is not from our church. And that person is not even from our country. But a few months prior to that, the Lord woke him up and said, bless this church called First Light Church. And that person actually traveled and came and met up with me and said, the Lord wants me to bless your church. It's amazing, isn't it? So what does it say? That God sees something about us, sometimes we don't see it for ourselves. That's why it goes back to that vision I've been having. It's about rows and rows of fruitful trees. Would you not like to be that person that God one day wake you up and ask you to bless someone that you may not even know them, but you know it's God's assignment? You know, when I was in Singapore ministering, I say, if I ask everybody in church, how many of you want the gifts of healing, everyone put their hands. Then I say, how many of you want to give or giving? No one put out a hand. We can believe God to use us supernaturally to heal a sick person, but somehow we think we must so-called empty our pockets to do the work of God. No, we don't want to do that. And so we look at today's text, you know, as we reflect together what Jesus says about giving. And Acts 20:35, here is Paul. Let me set to you the background. Paul was meeting the elders of the church of Ephesus, and he was not going to see them anymore, and he gave them a long sermon about what is going to happen to them. But I like the way he say in verse 35, he say, in all things, I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Can we say this together? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Look at your neighbor and tell that to your neighbor. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Say it to your other neighbor. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? So now start entering your wallets. Right? And of course, we do not know whether Paul heard this teaching of Jesus from the disciple, or he received it from special revelation. Because we know Paul in his journey, he always had this special revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Even on the very day when Jesus encountered him on the road to Damascus, the brilliant light came and God, Jesus Christ started telling him about his future calling and his ministry, right? And I believe, personally, I don't believe this is an oral tradition. That means it was not passed down to him by the other disciple. He has received it personally from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has been so-called informing and teaching the churches in which he has planted about the blessing for the believers, the blessing for the body of Christ that we can give and not just about receiving. In fact, you look at the next text, it's from Corinthians, right? And here was Paul himself. He had this vision, right? He said, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this and this, that he should leave me. Paul was going through a testing. He has a thorn in the flesh. Someone was opposing what he was preaching. But he said to me, he meaning Jesus Christ, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong. Now, this is Paul. Again, he was going through this struggle. He prayed three times to the Lord Jesus Christ to be delivered. But Jesus said, my answer for you in this hardship, my answer for you in this situation is to depend on my grace. My grace is sufficient for you to overcome every weakness of your flesh. My grace is enough for you to overcome this hardship that you're facing. You know, many times when we use the word grace, for many of us, we will say grace is the unmerited favor of God. That's right. But here Jesus gives us his own definition of grace. He said, my grace is my power make perfect in your weakness. Are you weak? Then you should boast. Most of us, we don't tell people our weakness, right? Every story we tell about ourselves, we are always the hero. We are never the villain. Come on, hear all your testimony. You're never the villain. If someone do something bad to you, someone did something wrong to you, but you're never the one who did something wrong to people. You're always a hero, right? But Paul, on the other hand, is like, hey guys, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. Even as I minister to you, I'm struggling. And I don't like what I'm going through. And he prayed. And this is what happened. Jesus said to him, three times he prayed, three times he had the same answer. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weaknesses. And finally, he got it. There is nothing wrong feeling weak. There's nothing wrong in our lives when we feel broken or we feel we are not good enough or we feel we are not there. There's nothing wrong as long as we keep on depending on the grace of God. Because then whatever we do is no longer us, but Christ work in and through us. Hallelujah. Aren't you not glad that everything that we do from now on, even overcoming our personal weaknesses, is not self-effort? But it's through the power of God's grace. So today, let me challenge you. If giving is a weakness for you, the power of Christ will help you. When you are weak, he will make you strong in him. So when it comes to giving, next slide, my point is this. Giving is more than just monetary. Right? It's more than just giving money. It's about giving your time, giving your wisdom, or giving yourself to people. So being a giving person is more than just giving money. In fact, through all of the whole New Testament, we begin to talk about when we serve, when we minister, we are actually giving. Of course, most time we talk about giving, it's about giving of our finances to the things of God. But look at Paul. Paul was telling these elders, right, when he was meeting them and telling them that his selfless service rests on this crucial revelation. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And this is important. And this is where Paul says, listen to Jesus and do what he says. Right? In not just giving money, but giving our time, giving a gift to someone, it is all a labor of love. But as we give, this is something we also must bear in mind, which is the next slide, that as churchgoers, as believers, we are usually what we call need responders. One thing about First Light, I'm proud to be your pastor, I'm proud to be your friend, is that you guys are one of the most generous believers I've ever met in this city. When there is an appeal, when there's a need, when there's compassion coming, where there's tear fund, you guys are very liberal in your giving. Amen? In fact, how giving we are, I will tell you, is well known in our city. Even though we are a small little church, I can tell you many times we punch above our weight. Right? So sometimes I go to pastor's meeting. Right? People from, I won't mention names, but very big churches. But the moment I say, Richard Tan from First Light, I come in, wow. I feel like the local Pope, right? You know. You say, oh, I heard about your church. Your church is a giving church. It is not about me. It's about us as a body because we believe in it. And even though we may not have much, we respond to needs. And this is important because I believe God has caused us not just to be good people, but generous people. But sometimes when it comes to giving to needs, no, we must also bear in mind a couple of things. We can be affected, but don't get infected. We can be affected by the needs. We can be affected by the crisis. We can be affected by victims. We can be affected by the stories we hear, but don't get infected. Sometimes we can carry that burden into our hearts that we end up what we call become weary, and then we suffer from what I call compassion fatigue. Now, Hebrews says, do not be weary in doing good. Keep on doing good. Don't get tired of doing good. Be affected by what you see. Be affected by the poverty. Be affected by what we call the sad news of people's life. Be affected by the crimes. Be affected by the war. But don't get infected. But be so affected that you do something with what you can. Because end of the day, if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus and we trust Him, God will always provide for us. As I said this before, if you are addicted to giving, God will feed your habit. If you trust God, God will provide. You know, hearing God is never easy. Okay, put it this way. Hearing God is always easy. Obeying is very hard. Come on, people. Hearing God is easy, but obeying is very hard. This happened to my friend. A group of us were having lunch back in Singapore a couple of weeks ago. And she was sharing, her name is called Olive. Olive one day woke up with a prompting from the Lord to give some money to a friend. She knew it was from the Lord, without a doubt. But she didn't want to do it. Not because she didn't have the money, not because she wasn't generous, but her only excuse was this, that, oh, I have not met this friend for 5 years. It is so awkward to call the person. It's strange, isn't it? So every day, the Lord keep prompting her, go and find this person, go and find this person, go and find this person. And finally, she told the Lord, after 1 week, see, hearing is easy, obeying. So after 1 week, she said, Lord, I love my sleep, so I will go to the person. She went to the person, it's a single mom, and she was in need for her child because she has some difficulty in studying and she needs extra tuition. But all they had enough was enough food for them, money for food, but not enough for extra tuition. And so Olive appears and gives her like a couple of $1,000. Like, God wants me to give it to you. And this lady says, praise the Lord. I say, you expecting this? Oh yes, I prayed this 1 week ago. I pray that God will send someone. But I was surprised it was you. Because we haven't met for 5 years. You know, and this is, and Olive, of course, felt very blessed after giving this person. And she was going home proud of herself. And then the Lord spoke to her. Who was blessed? Or who was more blessed? And for a moment, she thought, well, that lady was blessed. But at the end of the day, she said, actually, I was more blessed. In that sense, I was learning to listen to God, and God was saying to me. And the Lord said, the first lesson is for you to not hear me, but to obey me. But second lesson you must learn is kindness isn't kindness unless it inconvenient you. Kindness isn't kindness unless it inconvenient you. Be affected, but don't get infected. Be kind, and sometimes being kind can inconvenience you. But just take that step of faith. But I just want us to move beyond just be a need responders, right? As a church, as I said, there are many needs out there. Even right now, if you want to sow to a need, I'm sure we'll find half a dozen needs out there we can sow to. But can we grow from being a need responder to a kingdom builder? You are still giving, but there's a difference. You do not give a need to a need, but you begin to build God's kingdom to that situation. You are expanding God's kingdom. And we know this is from the personal example of Paul. Paul was sent by the Church of Jerusalem to go around to all the churches he had planted in the area to collect funds for the church. Because They were preparing for impending famine that was to come. Agabus, the prophet, prophesied that in a few years' time, there's going to be a famine striking the Roman Empire. And they knew they need to collect funds to help the poorer believer in Jerusalem. And Paul was assigned to go to collect funds for the church. That's why we read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, talk about the Macedonian believers versus the Corinthian believers about giving. And so, in one sense, Paul went about collecting, but Paul was not a fundraiser per se. We know Paul is really a kingdom builder. That's why he said to the elders of the church, in all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. If God asks you to help someone, please don't pray about it. It's already there in the word. Go and do it. Sometimes they're, let me pray. God gave me three more visions that I know is from you. Don't lose sleep over it. I always believe, I always tell people, for some of us, we think God following God's will is waiting for the red light to turn into a green light. For me, I'm opposite. I always believe following God is always a green light until it's a red light. You get what I'm saying? You still have green light and red light, but which one do you see first? Some of us, no, we always want to wait and wait and wait, and we end up doing nothing. No, if God wants you to give, just give. And if you are thinking, oh dear, I'm giving myself, say, God, please stop me right now. Right? But this is the truth, is that as a kingdom builder, it's different. We do not just sow to a need, but rather we give both generously and prophetically. Remember, Agabus tell the church, there is going to be a famine. It hasn't come for another 6 or 7 years. But then the church was starting to give prophetically. They knew things was going to happen even though it has not yet happened because they rest on the words of God's prophets on those days. Don't just give to meet a need. Give beyond just feeding the hungry or clothe the naked. You give and you sow to a future that you can see. It's just like a farmer who goes to an empty land. If the farmer wants a great harvest, he will have to do one thing. You know what he needs to do? He needs to sow seeds. And the more seeds he sow, the more or the greater the harvest will be. So like a farmer, as he sow seed, it's because we envision a great harvest. As a church, as a people of God, as you are part of First Light family, I hope and I pray and I believe you guys are giving not because you say, oh, First Light is in a need. And if not, the church will close down and pastor is going to not have a job kind of thing. You know, you're going to see me in clothes putting canned food. Now, the thing is not that. It's not. Please do not give just to keep us going just enough. You get what I'm saying? Give is because you believe in the vision. Give is because you understand that we are called for something more than we can ever imagine. If someone has called someone to sow $100,000 to our church, how much more we as a family should not we outpour our heart to the things God set before us? Amen. This is our purpose. This is our destiny. Let me share with you. Many years ago, I was... just before that, I was in Chiang Mai to visit Pastor Man and Ed, and they sent their regards to you. I spent a week with them. They were staying in Gateway, and many of you had gone to VVAP before. You were familiar with the Gateway Girls Ministry. And many years ago, when I was pastor in Singapore, I was a mission pastor, and I gave a sizable sum to start this ministry called Gateway Girls. And Gateway Girls is a ministry up somewhere in Chiang Mai when a group of missionaries was finding the most vulnerable people, especially girls at risk. If they did not have an education, most of them will be in a sex industry kind of situation. They were at risk. And so this is what happened was, you know, it took many years and for Gateway to be established. And remember, as I was with Joanne that day in Chiang Mai, we finally met Tay again. Tay was one of the first girl which we saw. If she was not being rescued, her future would be bleak. I remember, and Tay was showing all her childhood photos, skinny little small-sized girl, but today she's grown up to be a very confident young adult altogether. So the very first night after we have our worship service, and of course every night Gateway after dinner we have a 1 hour worship service. So here is P. Chris. P. Chris is Christina Ng, who's in charge of Gateway Girls. And so Chris and Tay brought me and Joanne up for dessert. And we're talking about her past, talking about her future, talking about things. And so after we have our dessert, we're about to pay. You say, now you're going to pay. I am now working, let me pay for tonight's dessert. Tears was just streaming down my eyes that, wow, 20 years later, you saw someone who has risen up to be a confidence person, a lover of God, who followed Jesus, whose life could have been so different if we did not sow prophetically. It's not a cheap exercise, I'll tell you, but let me tell you, you know, this is always one of my complaints to Joanne. You know, I say, I wish we could have we have more to give. You know, I wish we have more to give. And this is something I complained for a long time. And Joy said, yeah, you know. Yeah, let's, you know, yeah, you know. But the thing is, and one day I began to realize, I was reading from the parable of Jesus feeding 5,000. I realized something. God does not need our more for him to work a miracle. God does not need our more to work for him to work a miracle. Give what is in your hand. Okay, give what is in your hand into God's hand. 5 loaves and 2 fish can feed the 1,000. Powerful. God can do that. So in Singapore, this is what happened, as I say. I met some of my old classmates whom I never met for 42 years. And one of my classmates, his name is Ding. And Ding used to be really involved in the street gang. Powerful conversion experience. 3-4 years ago, Ding was stricken with kidney cancer, and the cancer has spread to his spine, it has spread to his brain. And what the thing he did was, he joined a church, right? He decided to be in a healing ministry. And one thing good about what God is doing, that the cancer in his kidney was gone, and his spine was gone, and all the tumor in his brain is slowly reducing. But as you know, if you're stricken with some kind of sickness, sometimes there are good days, sometimes there are bad days, isn't it? You can't expect you are jolly all the time. 3 months ago, 4 months ago, Ding told the Lord, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. Take me. And the Lord spoke to him and said, don't waste your youth. He said, my goodness, I'm almost 60 years old. How can you say I'm still young? And God said, I'm eternal. If I'm eternal, every one of you are you, amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, don't waste your youth. Don't waste your youth. And so the Lord told him, now, I want you to go and start witnessing to people in the marketplace. Go and meet people up there. There are many people who want to know Jesus Christ. And they say, I'm a businessman. I'm very good in talking at least, but who will come? And he was just sharing with a few friends, and next day, 40 people came. He said, we want to know Jesus. He said, oh, it's too big a group. So he divided them into groups of 12. And every night, for 7 nights a week, he meets them after office hour in the hawker center, in the food court, in the boardroom, and start discipling them. In 3 months, this group has grown to 100 people. So when he met me, he said, now I have a crisis. I said, what crisis do you have? Some of them are new believers, and they want me to baptize them. I'm not a pastor, so how am I going to do it? I said, wow, that is the dilemma. You're going to struggle through your whole life. No. I say, don't worry. You know, as a believer, you can baptize other believers. You know, we are not part of a high church, or we are not part of the sense you need an ordained pastor to do it. So I said, let me help you, and we journey this together. You see, and this is what it means about giving your life, sowing it not just generously, but prophetically. Because this is what I want to say to you people. Giving is a heart condition, not a pocket matter. Giving doesn't start with what you have in your pocket. It starts what you carry in your heart. That's the most important thing. And we must learn to give without hesitation so that God's blessing can multiply. If giving is a weakness for you, sometimes, and not just giving, there can be many areas in which we know we are hearing God, but we are reluctant to hear it. But do you know something, people of God? The places where we are reluctant to do it, God is not going to calling out on you to shame you or to condemn you. Rather, God wants us to realize we have areas of reluctance so that he can heal us and free us and restore us. What you are afraid to do, what you are unwilling to do, is not a place of defeat, but rather is a place of flourishing, a place where you can grow if you can put what is in you in the hands of the Master. When I'm weak, I'm strong, because it is Christ's power make perfect in my weakness. So it may not be an area of giving. It could be many areas in your life when you feel you can't, when you know it's God who has called you. Then you need to offer that brokenness. You need to offer that fear. You need to offer whatever it is to the hands of the Master. I'll tell you, if you can recognize this is an area of your weakness, if you can recognize this is a place of your brokenness, you can recognize this is something God is showing to you, that I'm going to heal you and I'm going to restore you and I'm going to multiply the works of your hand. Do you not know, people of God, we end up with a divine advantage? If God sets us free from our willingness to do something that makes us willing down the road, that becomes a divine advantage. Then we can do all things in Christ who really strengthen us through in every situation. So in closing, let me just ask you guys, take a picture of the slides, you know, for your own reflection. Are you giving humbly, generously, and with the proper attitude? Ask Jesus to speak to your heart regarding your giving habits. Then listen and obey. I hope you are encouraged, because this is what Jesus tells us. It's more blessed to give than to receive, because the giver is always the one get the greater blessing. Not because he is able to help others, but the one who gives is the one who can hear the heart of God. And at that moment, that's what Jesus said, be perfect as your Father is perfect. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word, for your truth. We thank you that you're the one who's always working your purpose in our lives. And so, Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever weaknesses they are facing right now, do not let them come under a spirit of condemnation or shame. Do not let them come under a point of feeling disappointed with themselves. But let them understand that they can offer those areas of their weaknesses to you, that your power is made perfect in their weakness. When they know they are weak in doing certain things for your name's sake, they are made strong by your presence and by your power. In Jesus' name we pray.